you doing today, sir?
Actually, I'm doing well. For a Sunday morning, I'm doing pretty well. I mean, Saturday morning, I'm doing pretty well, actually. Got up in a little while, drank a cup of coffee, so I'm ready to roll.
Want you to get us started. How did you get started in the music industry? You know, tell us from the beginning and how the Gospel Four come about.
Well, actually, we started singing from our hometown. Excuse me, older brother and myself did most of the singing. At that time, being young, 18, 17, I played guitar, and my brother at that time played bass guitar. So we used to write songs together with just him and I, and harmonizing at the same time, et cetera, et cetera. So I wrote most of the songs, and so we started basically from there. Actually, we started from the church because we sung in the choir and male chorus and what have you. We was pretty much the leaders of that as well. So that's kind of like a start for us. But then I came on out of high school and went on into college. And during college is when I met Guy Mines, and he and I started the Gospel Four together. It kind of started from actually that point. I'm sorry, you was gonna say.
What year did y'all start the Gospel for?
In 1969, long time ago, long time. Needless to say, I've aged pretty good since then. But anyway, it kind of started right there. And actually, one of the pictures that you showed earlier with the four guys in black was some of the ones that started in the early gospel before. With the me and the guy that's like on the backside of me is John Whitmore, who he and I started the group together. And then the little guy on the left side of me is with the bass singer, and the one on side of him was the top singer. So those three, and actually my other brother had gone to the service. Actually, he was in the war, who was also with us. But of course, he made it out of the war, but then after that, man got killed with a drunk driver head on right after the war. You would think things like that would happen in the war, but I guess war was everywhere. But kind of started right there. And we kind of rolled on, man, rolled on from there to kind of like where we are today. Just study building, 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 build. And of course, I started writing at a young age, and I never stopped writing. So I'm still doing that, not only for myself but for other groups as well. So we went from there to now. You would think when I first started, I was the youngest one in the group, and you would think that I would be the rest of them would be one that's leading me, and actually I ended up leading them, but manifoldly. Because I respected their ages as well. But God has blessed me. He always put things in my spirit to write about, and it's first to me before the people. So it has been a blessing to me for sure. Then I've had a chance to write for a lot of different people. One of my main guys, of course, Lee Williams, Speedy QC, but I did a lot of work with Memphis Harmonizers here in Memphis. I could just name on and on. Echo Airs, et cetera, a lot of different groups that I've had a chance to work with, either singing with them or writing for them or producing them, case like that, you know. So I've had a chance to do a lot of things in the industry and meet a lot of people. My idol, of course, was Ira Tucker with Dixie Hummingbirds, you know, because Dixie Hummingbirds had a way of singing all kind of ways. And I liked it there because it wasn't like a one solid thing. They could do this and do that and do this. And I said, hey, that's pretty cool, man, because certain things call for certain situations, which you mean that you need to be able to change in those cases. So I liked it there. So I started looking at little different ways to write as well. And so I've gone through that era, man, and I've had some good hits. Wrote a hit for William Brothers, Never Let Go of Your Hand.
Wrote hits for Lee Williams, wrote hits for Memphis Harmonize, wrote hits, I'm just keep right on naming and naming and naming, but and wrote hits for myself too as well. Don't want to ever leave me out. But that was the beginning until now.
That is something. So with the gospel four, when was y'all, what was y'all first, your very first recording? So me, unfortunately for me, I first heard of the gospel four is that Only We Left Is Up. I know y'all been saying way before then. When I first heard that album, I said, man, I was hooked, man, from start to finish. It was on point from start to finish on that particular album that I heard. So when was y'all very first recording with the gospel four?
Well, see, when we started, you had 45s and LPs, and of course it migrated to CDs. But we first started was with a 45. I Know I've Been Changed was on one side. He Laid His Hands on Me was on the other side, and that's been way back in the day, man. My first LP was called "Going Home Another Way." So you probably had never, you may not have ever seen any of those 45s or LPs. You might not have even knew who he was until we did the DVDs. That's when we came out with "The Only Way Left Is Up" and "The Ready or Not," and "One More Blessing," and so on and so on. But we've done a lot of things well before then.
Oh yes, we talking to Mr. George Dean of the Gospel Four, Memphis, Tennessee. No, down through the years, I know Quartet has had a bad name down through the years. And maybe rightfully so, but I know there's some people in the Quartet feel very sincere about what they're doing. I listen to other platforms. I listen to different conversations. People throwing the word, competition, entertainment. You think it's supposed to be about ministry, but those three, they tie those three together: competition, entertainment, ministry. And nowadays, some of the artists, they are very open about that. They say, it's about ministry, but we got to entertain a little bit, give people something to look at. So in your viewpoint, is there any way to really incorporate all three of those things and be effective?
Well, I think first of all, it has to be ministry. Think we have to have something very important in our message for the message to reach the peoples. But once the message has reached people, it's all right to shout now. The message needs to go forth, I think, because we can always we as peoples have always rejoiced, we've always clapped our hands, we've always done those things from the beginning, even from Africa. They always was praising, praising, praising. But when we get through with that, there has to be ministry. I mean, I think the word that comes from a song can bless. Now listen, if music can charm a snake, it has to be very powerful,
Oh,
but
yes.
it also have to express, what it's saying. In other words, when I saw this guy blowing this thing and the snake was just moving, but it was kind of like pleasing to the snake. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have something in your song that says something that's pleasing to people. We need to touch people with words that we say or sing in our song, and then we can rejoice. I mean, I have songs that I want to make sure that people understand what's happening and what's going on in the song, because I don't think God gave me a song just for me, but through me to other people. And I use it because I think ministry should be first. I don't deal with the competition. When I was younger and I was going to try to do something, it didn't work. In fact, I didn't sing well, so I knew that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. And so I had to come back to myself to realize that it's ministry first. I don't deal with competition. I can't sing if I'm trying to. It just don't work with me. So I just go with the flow. But I have fast songs, slow songs, medium songs too. Fast song gonna cause you to move, et cetera, et cetera. But to a point where it enhance what you're doing and not be a priority of what you're doing. Because get through is still the ministry. That's what it's supposed to be about. Now, when the world ends, singing gonna still be going on, you know, in heaven. So that makes me know that singing is very, very important, especially when it's a message that touches heart and reaches heart. Like I had a gentleman knock on my door, I mean, a couple, two, 3 days ago. I have no idea who he was. My wife answered the door and he says, I'm looking for a guy named George Dean. So she came and went to the door and he told me who he was and told me he was incarcerated. He did drugs for 23 years. He got off the drug by listening to the words of my song. Now, those things to me are very, very important because I
Oh, yeah.
think what we do as ministering through the songs, we also should have to show our humility and that we also act like or look like or try to project Jesus in our lives in the way we walk, talk, and et cetera, et cetera. I think all that play part in we do in the same.
All right, that's something right there, in a way. That's what it's all about, so the words in your song is touching people, like it touched that man right there. That should be our main
Yes,
goal. But
sir.
unfortunately, in this climate, I just sit in and listen to some conversations, like what you just said. It's about ministry first, and I tell you, it must be a different breed nowadays. They saying, they be saying, no, it ain't no ministry. You compete. I said, I just sit back and listen to that. I kind of cringe a little bit. I believe there are people like yourself who are very sincere about ministering to people. But if somebody hear you say that, say, no, man, you got to dump that house, man. You got to really tear it down to get booked. I'm more worried about, I guess impression promoters or whatever to get booked or whatever. They like that's the bigger picture when I hear these conversations. But they gotta realize, we gotta stand before God one of these days. And
Yes, sir. Yes,
yo,
sir.
I don't think that competing and trying to put butts in the seats like that they would say is gonna really matter. So we got to we I just think we got to keep that in account. We got to think about them things, man. It's just all this gonna pass away one of these days, and we got to stand before
I
God,
agree.
and we can't
Yes,
be
sir.
talking about that house. And I just hope people can just come to their senses and realize that,
I'm just like Lee Williams, man. We put out the song, but I want to hear him say, "Welcome home." You know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to do. Now, you know, it's not like I'm without fault either. When I talk, you know, I have my trials, my troubles. It's just life. But you know, I try to what I see that I'm not doing what I should, blah blah, then I try to change it, you know, to make sure that I stay within the will of him. All have sinned and come short according to the word. But then the word also say, what then? Shall we just continue in sin that grace may abound? And the word say, God forbid. So we have to change some things. But I just want to be pleasing. I want give me to bless other people. And that's my goal.
Alrighty, and you mentioned Lee Williams. I tell you, I met Lee Williams briefly, when I used to live in Augusta, Georgia, after the 20th quinching anniversary. And I remember, you know, I seen Lee Williams came to the front, I guess, to the tables where they were selling their CDs and things, and just had a line of people just bum rushing out trying to get his autograph. I didn't want his autograph, and I was taking a picture. So I just sit back and just, you know, watching him. Lee Williams, he was just signing everybody's autograph, taking his time, just down home. And then when he was done with that, he saw me. He walked up to him and shook my hand like we'd known each other for years. And, you know, that really means something to him. You know, he just seemed like someone real, down to earth, no matter how successful he was. He just seemed, just that brief moment that I met him, he just seemed just so down to earth. So we had a working relationship with him. Could you tell us what was it like working with Lee Williams? How did y'all meet up, and what was it like working with him on and off stage?
Well, what a lot of people probably don't know, you know, in the last 6 or 7 years when Lee was just hot and in the mainstream, see, I knew him probably 30 years before that. You know, we used to sing together different places, Tupelo, Memphis, in my group, his group, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been knowing him a long, long, long time. And he knew me a long, long, long time. And his character, the way people see it in the big limelight, the same way when people really didn't know who he was. He was always cool, easygoing, et cetera, et cetera. Nice guy to be around, man, you know. And we used to have fun, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then, you know, my thing is God knows when and what to do when he wanted to be done. You know, out of all those years that he was singing, now coming to me, I think that I want to go full time, you know, like that. I said, you think so? He said, yeah, I think it's time for me to go full time, like that. But what I didn't know was he was going to be under going to produce his record. Because, you know, he wouldn't tell me. That he told him, I'll sign if he produced it. And I didn't know nothing about it, you know. But we friends like that too, because we laughed about it later, et cetera, et cetera. So what happens is the production of George Dean and Lee Williams, I blessed Lee Williams, but Lee Williams blessed me. Because when folks got to know Lee, they got to know me. Because one day he said, now, where I go, you go. I didn't understand it at first because he said some stuff that you got to make you think sometimes. But what he was trying to say, wherever his CD went, my name went. So that made good sense to me too. But you're talking about a guy, man, easy to work with. Man, we had fun. You know what I'm saying? It was like, we was like brothers. You know, it was just that good of camaraderie between both of us. You know, he would call me sometime. Man, what you doing? I ain't doing nothing. I'm coming through Memphis. Let's eat. It's okay. Stuff like that, you know, blah, blah. Or I'm going through Tupelo, et cetera, that kind of thing. But I've been knowing him for years, you know, real years, before folks even know who Lee Williams, Pierce QC, really was. But the same way people see him is the same way he was before you met him. You know, so good guy, man. Good guy. Lord Jesus.
Yeah, he was. He was one of a kind, I tell you. He was, it seemed like in a quartet feel, you know. I guess people had a certain time. I guess what time was like I might go out of order with it. It might be Dixie Hummingbirds at the era. Then you have the Mighty Claws of Joy, Red Hot, Kansas Spiritual Red Hot. And then you have Lee Williams and Spiritual UC, they was Red Hot, you know, I guess. You know, I guess each group had their time in their era, I guess, you know, but it was.
Well, you're certainly right. You're right because, when Abraham was on the scene, was nobody else there. But somebody else came after Abraham, and then the next one after the next one, next one after the next, even from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you know, it was somebody else and somebody else and somebody else in the highlight. It's the same way with anything, any genre, especially in the music field, where this group is hot at this time, this group is hot at this time, this group is hot at this time. It's just a matter of fact, because there's no more Dixie Hummingbird, but at one time you couldn't beat them. It's still a Mighty Clouds, but it's not like Joe LaGuna. It's still a Slim Train, but it's not like Slim, because that particular person is just not there no more. I'm not saying that they still can't sing, don't get me wrong, but I'm only saying there are certain people that God used in everything. That's a group. God always got a person, and it don't have to always be the person that sang lead. It can be a person that run the business or blah blah, but God gonna have somebody in that group. It's just the nature of the beast.
Oh, yeah. And I'm speaking with Mr. George Dean of the Gospel Force, singer, songwriter, producer. And so, you've written many songs for people. Have they, I guess, these songs you've written and albums you produced, or have different artists like won like Stellar Awards what you have produced and written for them?
Actually, I wrote William Brothers did a song called Never Let Go of Your Hand, and I wrote that song, and it was a big song for them and me as well. But the song that I wrote for Lee Williams, He Laid His Hands on Me, won him 5 Stellars. And that one was a big, big, big record, and a big song, actually. And that was my major. But I've been nominated for Stellas 3 times, always made it to the last one to jump over that hump. I never did, but that's okay too. Those things keep me humble, to know that I can. So it's all good. Close enough to be there. What can you say, man? It's all good. But sometimes I have to think through my purpose. Yes, I sing, and yes, I write, but sometimes I think my writing may be for other people as well, not that just necessarily just George, And so I've had a chance to produce a lot of groups and a lot of groups of records. I don't know if you've heard of the Echo Ayers, but I produced their record, and they've been going ever since. Those kind of things. Just got through actually producing another group down in Batesville, Mississippi, which you should be hearing about at some point. And Sensational Travel is actually their name. And sometimes I wonder what all God has for me to do. So you know what I'm saying? So I just look at life at face value, man. Try to live every day, do my best to treat everybody right. Stay humble before God, man, and just keep rolling on until my time.
So what inspired your the songs that you write? Is it some experiences you may have, or come just straight from God's and mix some? What inspires the songs and the words to the songs that you write?
God let me see things and hear things. And sometimes I see things and just start singing to myself. I hear things and start singing to myself. And then sometimes the melody of what I'm doing, kind of stays with me all the time. I find myself doing the same thing over and over, over and over. Then I figure, hey, okay, I got to do something about that one. And so I think I'm inspired through the Spirit of God. Because he just showed me stuff, and boom, like that is all. It's already like melody and everything. I can take it from there, and then I can add. So I go to the scriptures from there and try to make it make sense with what the Word of God says, and so that it becomes a song that's meaningful and touchable and reachable to people. So hey, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what God does, man. It's just amazing. I'm serious. I'm serious. I've written songs and cried all at the same time. So, you know, so I guess it's good that it reaches me first.
Oh, yes, indeed. I tell you that. You know, speaking to Mr. George Dean of the Gospel Four, singers, artist, songwriter, producer. No, you mentioned Mr. Ira Tucker. That's Dixie Hummingbird. That's a group I grew up listening to. Did you get a chance to meet Mr. Ira Tucker or be on the same stage with him at all?
Yes, sir. I sung with them and Dixie Hummingbird in Detroit, Michigan, to be exact. And in fact, in the dressing room, you know, Mr. Tucker and some of the other guys, we all was in the same dressing room, and I got a chance to just talk to him anyway. He was a down to earth guy as well. Because I said, "Mr. Tucker, man, I sure want you to sing on a song for me." And he looked at me and said, "I'll do it." He said, "I'll do it." We just didn't get chance before he left. So we didn't get a chance to do that. I also Joe Lagan asked me, I wrote a song for him. I still got it. I didn't get a chance to do that one either. And so a lot of people have, and I just kind of put it together and just hold it and see what happens, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned them hummingbirds. Matter of fact, I just heard some just the other day. I heard someone of send me a clip of the hummingbirds rehearsal. Those guys, they start to they reloading. So they working on that authentic Dixie Hummingbird sound. So that's the group you might want to keep your eyes on there. Like I said, yeah, they reloading right now. So that's a Yeah, so
Oh
they get on there.
with the sons and all of them getting together, they sounded pretty good. I listened to them not too long ago. You know, it's coming back. It's coming back. But you know, Dixie Hummingbird had been singing for a lot of years, so that maturity, you know, it makes a difference as well, you know. So you kind of groom yourself from starting, and you get better and you get better and you get better, and it gets easier and easier to do after a while doing the same thing. So but they got the voices to do, you know, what they're doing. They sound pretty good.
Oh yeah, not to dwell on the birds, but I was listening, I guess, to the old interview of Mr. James Davis, the founder. He and when even though I listened to Mr. Tucker was talking about Mr. James Davis, he has some strict guidelines, some strict rules for the group, and I just wondered, you all have any strict rules in the gospel before? I don't know if it's as strict as what the hummingbirds have, but do you have any rules and strict regulations in order to keep the group humble and in line?
Well, first of all, we have to be right ourselves, my brother and I. We actually control the group, so we have to be right ourselves. But yeah, we have demands, and they understand that, you know. But we also treat them right, and whatever we say we're gonna do, we do it. If we have a problem, we explain, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't try to hide nothing about that, you know, so that we all can be on the same wavelength. The thing is, is everybody be happy with being with us. Makes them play and sing better as well. You know, I don't like because you're taking care of you, I can treat you any kind of way. That's out of the box. You know, I think regardless, people have to be treated the way you would want to be treated. So that alone kind of helps my guys stay in place. You know, my thing is to them is when people see you away from the floor, then it'll take effect when we are on the floor if you're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. So be mannerable all the time. You know, no cursing, you know, none of that, blah, blah. No smoking, we don't play that, you know, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, cigarettes may be all right in this place, you know, but other, beyond that, no, none of that. So it seems like our camaraderie works real well with how we handle ours, but we do have demands, yeah. My brother takes care of that stuff.
All right.
My brother's hand is like two gloves, so.
I tell you, okay. When you go to programs, you know, I'm sure it happened to you guys like it does others. So you go to a program, and you know the promoter, you know, they don't have all the funds, like whatever the price was agreed on. They don't have all the funds, or some. I hear stories of the promoters just skipping out, you know, with the money without paying the artist. So you go to a program, and I guess all the funds are not there, or the promoter done skipped out with the money, or just don't pay you at all. How do George Dean and the Gospel Four handle that kind of a situation?
Well, we haven't really had situation like that for a long, long time. But what I don't do, or didn't do some years ago, is act crazy myself. You know, because people are watching and they see you. So if you go to hollering, fussing, and cussing, they don't know what's going on. All they know is I hear you fussing and cussing, blah, blah, blah. So that's a damper on your group. I always, in that case, try to get the person by themselves if they're still there. If they're gone, it ain't too much I can do. But the thing is, a promoter or a person that's booking you, blah, 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 does that deliberately. If they steal 10 from me, they'll lose 50,000. Because God ain't going to let you just get away with it. It just don't work. Just because you feel like, I got this. I got them. You know, but you don't have us. You know, we all belong to God. He's not going to just let you get by with that, especially if I'm trying to do it honestly in the right way. And then you deliberately take from me, you know, you'll never get away. You'll suffer some kind of way. It just won't work. It just don't work. If I do you wrong, Brother Robinson, you know, then it comes back to me, not you. But
right.
Some kind of way it's going to come back to me. God just won't let it go. He won't let it go like that. So, but I haven't really had that kind of problem. I've had some people that have got in a situation where they didn't have all, but they'll say, look, I'll do this, blah, blah, blah. And they did, you know, so we said, well, if I can take care of my means, I'm good at that point. But I don't want to think people that just run over me or nothing. But it's still ministry, and man, it's ministry. So we're worthy of a higher, and the Bible speaks of that as well. So I'm just saying, I try not to where we don't, as far as how we act in situations like that. We got to remember that there's people around us that don't know really what's going on. So you still got to be careful what you mean, what you say, and how you do it.
Yes, sir. That's it. Yes, that's a good way to handle it. Yeah, you can. I don't hear stories where people don't. Well, I'll tell you this story. Well, he done said it. I know this one is that he was playing for his mother, and I guess that promoter didn't have all that money. So I guess him and maybe two of his brothers, they trapped that guy in the bathroom. Yeah, you know, supposedly, this was the promoter was saying, no, they didn't have the money, but it was. They were doing a head count where they was, and said, no, the money here. So long story short, I guess he shook up that promoter. I guess he got scared or whatever. He coughed up the money, but it's a shame they had to go to, you know, that kind of a extreme. You know, it, like you said, it's one thing if they fell short. You know, not like example that you gave. You know, they are. Do this for you and make it up some kind of way. That's fine, but you know, but to have it and not cough it up on what you, and but that's a contract involved or whatever. You know, however y'all do it. You know, that's the big business there. I tell you, but like you said, it'll come back on you.
That's the thing. Now, I don't get in other people's business, you know, but that's That's the thing. If you mistreat a person, you will not get away. You may think you're doing well when it happened, but down the road, it comes back. If it didn't come back, then God wouldn't be right, because he said he's just not gonna let that get away. It's just that's just the way it is. But we're worthy of our hire. But most of all, man, I come to really just sing, give God what he give me, and hope that one person be blessed during the process. And usually I'll have somebody come to say, "I really enjoyed you. You blessed me." All those things play a part as far as I'm concerned. I had a little kid come up to me at a program and says, "Mr. Dean, you saved my life." I said, "Save your life? I don't even know you." "Yeah, but the music, your song really saved my life." Right? Those things there, because those people said those things, it's like God speaking back to me to say, "What I've given you, this is why. So do what I give, sing what I give you to sing, do what I do, want you to do. And this is why, because even though you're talking to one, and you might not talk to one more some other time, one more time, God, heaven rejoice when one comes." So, hey, that's just like a million.
Oh, yeah. And what piece of advice would you give for people, maybe not just in quartet or whatever, well, if they want to make a living in the music industry, what advice would you give them to make it out here in this field?
Well, I'm not sure if I could give them direct advice. My reason is I worked a job for 38 years, and so I'm retired for that concern, but I'm still singing. But what happened with me was, during those 38 years, the Lord blessed me where I could still go. My boss was pleased. As long as I tell him I'm going, I'm coming back, I didn't have no problem. I could go anytime. Unless there's a direct emergency or a situation that has to be there. Other than that, I was blessed to be able to go and come and still sing. So as far as me telling them to go out full force, I would just have to say, make sure you listen to what the Spirit has to say unto you, and make sure you got what you need to qualify for you to be or to go, because that's going to be your living. Like A. Lee Williams say, "Yeah, I think it's time for me to go full time." But you got to know that. You got to know that, because every program may not pay you.
Oh,
So at the same point, when you get as old as I am, I'm pushing 75. You get as old as I am, you got to make sure you got something to live off as well. Because at that point, you get to the point where you ain't gonna want to sing, or ain't gonna feel like, or can't sing, or maybe your voice not there, blah, 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 blah. So you got to still have something to live on.
that's some good points. And coming up, another group I grew up listening to, like the Pilgrim Jubilees. I know they had a book that they put out some years ago. I was just reading through that book, and the late Clay Graham, I guess he was, I guess like in that era, the Jubilees, what they was real hot at that time, and there was I guess in that era, there were some groups that he wrote in the book that there were some groups that didn't want to work with them for whatever reason. Because I know the Jews, they had a very hard driving style, and Clay called the groups out by name in the book. That there was several major groups. He said they didn't really want to, be on the same program with them guys. But I just wanted, I did a gospel four, not put out, put on names, anything like that. Did y'all feel a vibe where y'all on a program with groups that, didn't too much care to be on the same program with you guys, and maybe out of jealousy or whatever, or was it more of just a calamity? Just everybody just, you know, came together and just, you know, those Sunday songs and go do their thing.
Kind of fading out on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have it ever been a time when the gospel four been on the program, or you know, they have y'all ever sensed where okay, the gospel four here, I don't want to have too much dealing with them or whatever, or as a whole, everybody just you know came together just to do their own thing. But in other words, have you ever sensed where other groups had a issue with the gospel four, where they didn't want to really be on the same program with you guys, or anything like it was back in the golden era?
No, actually, I've never had that problem, and if it was a problem, it never did get to me. But as far as because I'm the same way all the time. But as far as groups saying it to me or me hearing it, I don't remember ever having that problem. Most of the time, it's probably if that happens, it's from them to the promoter, and I may not never hear it, you know, in that case. So it could be a situation where it may have happened, and I don't know. But as far as me knowing, no, I haven't done that, because I try to be the same all the time. I try to greet other groups as well, younger groups and older groups. So I try to stay in a position where all can talk to me, you know. So that's what I'm saying. I'm usually pretty quiet, laughter, what have you. But I don't remember ever having that kind of situation.
That's good to hear. You know, that's yeah, good. That's good to hear. I know for a fact that has happened to you know, other artists. I know firsthand, but just it was good that y'all able to you know come together, man. And you know, just have the same goal in mind. Yeah. So, man, I tell you, I appreciate you, you know, taking the time out to come and you know, do this interview, and I guess for final words to. Yeah, I want to give you the final words and what y'all have. What do you y'all have a new project coming out the gospel for, or something that?
Well, actually, we're starting to work on a new project this month, to be exact, because I take less programs January and February because you just never know the weather, what have you, and then I'd be looking at March as well because you never know. But so now we're working on a new project. Hopefully we can get it together and release it around March or April, maybe a little later, just depending on how much I see, what I want to change, and et cetera, et cetera. But that's the what we're planning. That's the plan to go ahead and get started on it. In fact, next week.
Okay.
That's be looking.
Oh, yeah. If they want to, if anybody want to, gospel four, how can they go by booking the gospel four?
Well, they can go to my web page is Dean George, Dean space George G4, or they can call me at 901-596-4763. In fact, that's the number that you have. Again, 901-596-4763. You can reach me personally if you like, or I can give you to a person that'll book you, but you know, I can do it myself. You can reach me, George Dean, 901-596-4763. And I appreciate you, Brother Robson, for the opportunity to come and, speak to other listeners along with you. Thank you much.
All right, Richard's coming on, and right here we'll give you no final word. Anything you want to say before we get on out of here? The floor is yours.
No, I probably have already said it, but I thank you again for the invitation to come and bless all of those that hear and see us. And may God bless everybody. And we'll be glad to come to your area and sing. And all you have to do is call that number. We appreciate it very much. And thank you again, sir, for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, sir, you got it. And that's Mr. George Dean of the Gospel Four. And I hope I thank you all for tuning in, however you listen, wherever you're listening from. I hope y'all got something out of it. And you want to book them, he gave y'all the number. So well, thanks to Mr. George Dean for the interview, taking the time out of his schedule to be interviewed. And until next time, God bless you all. You all have a good one till next time.